Hello everyone, it's Sarah Lusher here. I hope you're all well. It's lovely to be able to bring you this July-August 2021 issue of the Chatterbox Norfolk magazine. This month's edition has its usual mix of regular features and contributors, with a few new ones to enjoy. Dippy the Diplodocus has arrived, so we hear all about that. There's news of a caring charity, a remarkable headmaster and a legendary storyteller. Your readers this month are Kim Cleave, Kevin Ford, John Francis and Caroline Aldrey. To set us off, here is Dominic Castle, editor of the print edition of the Norfolk magazine.
Welcome to Norfolk, Dippy the Diplodocus. Hope you enjoy your stay at Norwich Cathedral. The visit of this famous skeleton, yes, okay then, cast to a famous skeleton, is very welcome. Another marker that we're on an upturn and that things are getting better. I know that we're not out of the woods yet, but a little positivity never hurt. I remember taking our son to the Natural History Museum in London when Dippy was in his usual spot, impressively filling the entrance hall. At the time of writing, he has been carefully reassembled in his new temporary home, Dippy, not our son, by skilled folk who know how to connect the knee bone to the leg bone, etc. Can't wait to see him. He has plenty to say for himself, as you'll see in the magazine this month. Another fascinating piece is the story about the inhabitants of Ferning Hall, a handsome, grand but not too grand, Norfolk country pile. It is the sort of place that you might fantasise about buying should your six numbers come up on the lottery. The reality, of course, is that it is not easy looking after the ancestral domicile these days. Even the business of putting a lick of paint on our pokey little home here is frankly exhausting and all too easily put off. The idea of having to dab 60-odd enormous Georgian window frames with the old non-drip gloss is beyond the pale, or beyond the brilliant white. Old homes certainly have their charms, though. Ferning really is a beautiful place, and I'm sure it talks to its inhabitants, especially after a long, hot summer's day. Our childhood home in the heart of the county was quite old, at least parts of it were. It had some beams and a big fireplace, and though it wasn't grand, it had been a farmhouse, it seemed huge to me as a child. When I went back a few years ago, I was struck by how modestly sized it actually is. But the old house would talk to us as the hazy heat of July and August days ebbed and cooled into the evening. Its timbers would creak and crack and settle, like an old man getting comfortable in a rocking chair. It would scare the living daylights out of us kids, especially on those occasional evenings when our parents were out. Each little noise signified to two bug-eyed children that the crazy man with an axe was creeping around upstairs, or, worse still, the ghost of a crazy man with an axe. That, Mum and Dad, is why we were always still up when you got home. A final word on the subject of things talking that usually don't. I hope you enjoy our new column, The Last Bird. The name is a clue.